Beloved, Christ is among us. On this second Sunday after Holy Pentecost, as we heard at the dismissal and at the hymns, the troparia of the day, we remember all the saints of America who have shone forth from the time of Hermann of Alaska in the late 1700s all the way up through the 20th century, the priest martyrs John and Alexander, the Bishop John of Shanghai and San Francisco, and the most recently glorified saints, the Bishop Mardarius of the Serbian Church in America, and also Saint Sebastian Dabovich of Jackson, California, recently glorified. And we continue on this second Sunday, in reality, our celebration of Pentecost, because it is the descent of the Holy Spirit that made all of it possible for anyone to become holy, that is a saint. To be a saint is to be holy with God's holiness. And this Sunday we remember those in North America who have shone forth as saints. Not only those we know, but also those we do not know, those that only God knows. And in this celebration of what is in reality God's work, for it is God who brings his saints to him, the gospel we have read today is very short, but very packed with meaning. As a matter of fact, there is only one line of speaking in the gospel today. It's not even dialogue, because there's no worded response. Jesus comes to Peter and Andrew with their boats, and also to John and James, helping their father in their fishing business. And he simply says, "Come and follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." And then Jesus goes to the synagogues to teach, and he heals all of the sick and the infirm among the people. This, beloved, our Lord's work on this day reveals to us what he is willing to do so that we can become saints. We have to think a little deeply to get to that point, but let's take a look. For God is beyond us. God is spirit, everywhere present. Nothing can contain God. There's no place he cannot be. And yet, he could have saved us by his word, which shows his power. God only had to speak the word and we would be saved, revealing to us his power. But what does he do? Far more than that. The Son of God takes on our flesh. He decides to be encumbered by our nature, to be confined in time and space by our humanity. And he comes to us to save us. And this is nothing other, beloved, than a sign of God's love for us, that there is no limit to which he would not go in order to bring us back to himself. And as we listen to Jesus' words to his apostles, as he was calling them, he says, "Come follow me and I will make you fishers of men." And if we look at this one instant, we will see it's repeated throughout our Lord Jesus' life on earth. Everything he asks of us, he already does himself. For what else is he doing that day in Galilee but becoming a fisher of men, calling men to follow him, Peter and Andrew, James and John? He's the one who makes the call. And they respond. And he asks them to become like him. And in reality, he's asking us to become like him, to live in him, to respond to him in this way. When we think of those who have power on the earth, who have high rank and position, Do they come down to see everyone? Do they go out to visit those who are most in need? The homeless, the hungry, the imprisoned? Yet God so empties himself, he doesn't wait for us sinners to come to him. He empties himself to come to us. He seeks after us. He is a fisherman chasing us down, trying to catch us, to bring us to himself. And as one of the saints pointed out so well, if any of us go fishing, when we pull that fish out of the water, that fish is going to die. But when God comes fishing for us, we leave death to come to life. When he catches us in his net, we have life. To be outside of God's net is to be in death. It's to be in a life that is not life, but a life that is pursuing its own ends to death. And so God comes searching for us, fishing for us, to catch us into his net. And that's not the only parable that speaks of this. If we're familiar with the Gospels, we know Jesus speaks of the woman who had 10 gold coins and lost one of them, just one of 10. And she took everything out of the house and swept it clean, looking for that one coin. God is the image of that woman, looking for that one coin. And all sinners are that one coin that God is searching for. Or the shepherd who has 100 sheep and one of them goes off. I think most shepherds on earth would say, well, that's loss. I can count I'm going to lose one sheep to a wolf, or it's going to get lost and die in the wilderness. But that's not how God deals with us. He leaves the 99 and goes looking diligently for that one sheep that is missing, to bring it back on his shoulders. Again, that image of the shepherd as God, as the Son of God, seeking us out, seeking out every sinner to bring every sinner back to him. Because the Son of God was not stingy about his dealing with us. He spent everything. He spent his very life. He poured out his blood to purchase us, that we may be his. Now the disciples in the gospel, they saw the one coming to them who was fishing for them, the one who was the shepherd seeking the lost sheep, the woman searching for the lost coin. And they heard him. There's no dialogue. It doesn't say they said, "Yes, Lord." It said they left their nets and followed him. Because they were ready interiorly to follow the Savior, to receive God seeking for them. And that is, my beloved, is what we are called to do. For us to become saints, we must be willing to let God catch us. We must dispose ourselves to him. Because the Son of God comes as a beggar at the door of our hearts. And there is no doorknob on the outside of our hearts, because God will not force himself into our hearts. There's only a doorknob on the inside for us to open ourselves to him. Now, for us to open ourselves to him, we have to know he's even there. Because God is constantly there knocking on the door of our hearts for us to let him in. But there is so much in life that distracts us. Noise that prevents us from hearing God knocking at our hearts. There are all the cares and concerns and worries of the world, property and possessions, jobs, everything that we may worry about or be concerned about. And then there's news, some of which even isn't news, it's gossip, that just happens to be broadcast 24 hours a day. All of that noise drowns out God's knocking at our hearts. That requires our interior stillness, our interior silence, so that we can even hear to know that He is there. And I assure you, He is there, always. Always at the door of our hearts, knocking for us to let Him in, so that He can catch us in His net. Because again, God will not force Himself on us. He will not force us to follow Him. He will not force us to join Him in His kingdom. But rather, He will wait patiently, trying to stir us to move to Him. Maybe He will send blessings that we know are blessings, so that we may turn to Him. Or maybe He will send unmanifest blessings, so that we will turn to Him. Things that the world would account as a curse, but that if we look through, we can see it means that God is caring for us, caring enough for us that He wants to turn us to Himself. But again, we must be the ones to turn ourselves to Him, to open our hearts to Him. So we must practice interior silence, some moments away from the cares of the world and our daily concerns, where our smartphone is turned off, there's no radio or TV, and we're contemplating God, looking at our icons, praying in our prayer book, reading the scripture, and most importantly, beloved, coming here to His temple. Because here He reveals Himself to us as much as we are able to receive Him on this earth. And He doesn't give us simply that grace or this grace, but He gives us His very self in His body and blood, so that the soil of our hearts may be broken open, that we may unlock the door of our heart to receive Him, to welcome Him, to enter into the newness of life that began for us at baptism. A life we must continually renew every day, because again, bit by bit, the outside world will distract us away from God, and our soul will fall asleep, and we won't be aware that He is there knocking on the door of our heart, seeking after us. Beloved, let's take the time each day, and certainly on each Lord's Day, each Sunday, to worship God in our prayer, to worship Him in the spirit of our hearts, and in truth, as Jesus says, to come to receive Him. Because, beloved, we'll discover that when we take one step towards God, He takes 20 steps to run to us. He's already there to catch us as soon as we turn to Him. Let us turn to Him daily. And if when we sin, turn back to Him again and ask His forgiveness and say, God, I'm sorry for what I did. You know I'm a sinner. Forgive me. Enfold me in Your arms. Immerse me in Your love, that I may shine with Your love, as did those fishers of men so long ago, the holy apostles, the saints of North America today, and all the saints who will come into His kingdom when He returns again. Glory to God for all things.